Good morning. And welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the fourth and final Sunday in the season of Advent. It's a blessing to be in the house of our Lord as we finish our preparations for the celebration of our Lord's birth this coming week. If you're a guest or visiting with us here this morning, we're especially glad you're here along with all of our members alike. And just a reminder to fill out the attendance card you'll find in your pews. Our ushers will collect them midway through the service. Order of service for this morning is Divine Service Setting 3, beginning on page 184 in our hymnal. We sing now our first hymn, hymn 338, Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. and in his word I hope. For the Lord more than watchman for the morning, more than watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and your mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Where is a sign when you need one? When you are lost, a sign can certainly help you find where you are and find where you need to go. And you most likely have seen the scene where a traveler arrives in a new location but doesn't know what to do next, doesn't know who is there for him until he sees his name on the sign. At some point in your life, you've probably wished to God for a sign. Which college should I attend? Just a little sign, a push in the right direction would help. What career path is right for me? God, give me a sign so I won't mess it up. My future depends on this. What kind of car should I drive? Whom should I marry? When is the right time to retire? Clear sign would certainly be helpful. It would be great in easing the burden, the stress of making that right decision. But even if you did get such a sign, could you be sure it was a sign from God? The right sign, pushing you in the right direction. And how could you possibly know for sure? One of the most popular Bible passages we hear this time of year, especially at Christmas, is from Isaiah chapter 7. And we heard it just this past Wednesday to conclude our midweek series. We'll hear it again two more times Christmas Eve, our family service and our divine service. Here it is again, this morning, fourth Sunday in Advent. But why? We know its words all too well, yet we likely do not know what these words are all about. The context for what was going on for these special words in Isaiah 7. But Isaiah, the prophet of God, takes care of that for us. Ahaz, mentioned in the text, was king. King over the region of Judah in the southern part of Israel. He was a descendant of David. But all of Judah at that time had caught wind that their kinsmen in the north, the Israelites, had made an alliance with the Syrians, a kingdom not too far out of Israel. Their plan was to descend upon Jerusalem, the holy city, and to wreak havoc upon its citizens, to terrorize the Judeans in the holy city. They would then conquer Jerusalem and establish their own vassal king, their own puppet, to do as they wished. When Ahaz, king of Judah, and all the people around him heard this, their hearts shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind, Isaiah sees fit to write. But never to fear. Yahweh God is on top of it. He sent Isaiah, the prophet, to Ahaz to reassure him. Yahweh God, through his prophet Isaiah, referred to Syria, the enemy, and Israel in the north as smoldering stumps, meaning they were just about out of time. They would not be a threat for long. God told Ahaz that the Syrian enemy would not stand, and they would soon be shattered, defeated. Now, you would think that would be good enough for Ahaz, king of Judah. Yet because he is in that position of power politically over a nation, seeing that the threat to his empire was indeed grave, and that the word of God was coming through a mere mortal, a human being like Isaiah, he maintains the grip on his earthly doubts. And Ahaz did what many kings do. He made a pact with a visible ally, the Assyrian army, that was mounting up to defend them against Syria, their enemy, that would later backfire. Still looking for Ahaz's loyalty, for his trust, and in order to help him in the midst of this difficulty, Yahweh told Ahaz, look, ask for any sign you want, and I will give it to you so you can be sure you will win. It can be whatever you want. Just like Gideon and that fleece, he demanded God to keep wet and to keep dry 2 consecutive nights. God would give Ahaz certainty, but Ahaz refused. I will not ask, said Ahaz. I will not put Yahweh to the test. Now, this was a quote from sacred scripture. We know from Deuteronomy, Jesus would use the same line later in his temptation by Satan. Of course, quoting scripture against the temptations of the devil is one thing. Quoting scripture against God is quite another. Was God testing Ahaz about his adherence to his prior word? Would God tempt King Ahaz to sin by demanding that he ask for a sign? Of course not. God tempts no one. We know all too well, he never wants anyone to fail when trusting in him. He only seeks our success in faith and trust in him. Fed up with Ahaz's duplicity, Isaiah spoke God's word to Ahaz, stating he would give a sign anyway. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now there, using of the definite article indicates a very specific virgin, likely one that would be well known to Ahaz and to the house of David. And while this prophecy will ultimately find its completion in the conception and birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, it would have a more immediate fulfillment to show Ahaz God's great power. And many theological and biblical scholars have theorized that that virgin being mentioned here in Isaiah 7 may indeed be the king's own virgin daughter, who was soon to be married. And of course, remaining a virgin until her marriage, she would then conceive and bear a son once the marriage was official. And his name then would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us, a sure sign for Ahaz that God would be with his chosen people. Even when it looked like all else would fail, everything else was against them. And if Ahaz was faithful to God, such a sign would be monumental, beyond compare. For what more could you possibly ask than to have the only true God on your side? Instead, Ahaz made his deals with others and ultimately served their gods. Worse than that, however, in doing so, as the representative of God's people, of God himself, of the house and line of David, Ahaz put Yahweh and all of Israel into the service of false gods. The kingdom of Judah in the south would eventually fall to the nation of Babylon. Faithful kings would indeed trust Yahweh's promises and destroy the pagan altars and the worship sites of the false gods built in their midst. But the other kings of Judah and of Israel would make their alliances with foreign nations and with other gods as a presence in Judah itself. This was typical of the practice of the kings over Israel and Judah, of God's own chosen people throughout their history, but it serves as a smaller version of the whole world at large. God is, after all, the maker of everything, the creator of all, the God over all. He demands our honor and our worship, the same for every last person on earth. And he rightly and truly deserves it. Sinners, however, resist God, the true God, and follow other paths. God allows the consequences of sinful behavior to befall mankind, which lovingly, by his grace, provides opportunity for repentance and trust in him. For Yahweh God knows that every last person's true problem is sin. Adam and Eve were not created with sin, thanks be to God, but when they did fall into sin, that very first moment they fell all the way in. And now every last descendant of theirs has been plagued by sin. And sin has so thoroughly infiltrated all of mankind, including Adam and Eve, after their fall, that you cannot even distinguish the sin from the sinner. Our sin, our sinful nature, has earned us the full wrath and punishment of God and separation from his love forever and ever. Amen. Yet God has seen fit to give us the best and the surest of signs. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That, of course, would be fulfilled in a gal from Nazareth named Mary, betrothed to be married to her husband Joseph. Mary remained a virgin, and still she conceived a son within her by the power of God's Holy Spirit, who overshadowed her through the word of God. And that baby conceived within her womb was not just any other baby, but the eternally begotten Son of God, now made flesh and blood. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And while our sin and our sinfulness has earned us complete separation from God, he still comes to us. God lovingly wants to dwell with his people. He has so loved the world that he has given his only Son. The Son of God has become the Son of Man. Not only has Jesus come to dwell here among us, he has dwelt here within us, as us. Christ Jesus is God with us in the most intimate way possible. And that is what was promised through God's word, through Isaiah to King Ahaz. The Son of God was coming into the world, foreshadowed so many times throughout the Old Testament, through the presence of the Son of God in his pre-incarnate form, the messenger, the angel of Yahweh. Now he would dwell in the very midst of his people as the winner, the giver, and the perfecter of our salvation. His blood sets us free to be the right people of God. For God is with us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And his death upon the cross remains the surest sign of God's presence with us and his undying love for us. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And to life everlasting. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory. We're seated once more as the tithes and offerings are collected.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptizer prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy,
holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Now this the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve, steadfast in the true faith, unto life everlasting.
Thank you.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You may be seated. Special thank you to our Alleluia ringers for their playing here this morning. We do have our Sunday School Christmas program this morning at 9:40 here in the sanctuary, so you're welcome to come back for that. Coffee and donuts still available in the fellowship hall, but no Bible class or Sunday school otherwise, so just the Sunday School Christmas program here between our two services. If you'd like to join us for Christmas caroling this afternoon, meet us in the fellowship hall at 3:30. We'll be back around 5:30 or 5:45, and if you would, send me an email or a text, let me know you're planning to come so we can wait for you if you have not yet arrived. Poinsettias, you can see, are already here for our decorations for Christmas. You can still, though, submit those forms to the church office by tomorrow, and those memories and honorariums will be included then in the bulletins for our Christmas services. You have four services on Christmas Eve this coming Wednesday. 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock are family services. 7:15 are divine service. 10 o'clock with the lessons and carol service. Christmas morning then with divine service as we celebrate the day of our Lord's birth. We do have offering envelopes for 2026 available on the table as you go down the hallway toward the fellowship hall. And lastly, there is a request if you do play a musical instrument and would like to join with the instrumentalists for Christmas Eve services, then do talk to Keith, and he will give you some music so you can practice that ahead of time. As we look forward to the celebration of Christmas, we do go forth in the name of our Lord, and we greet each other in his peace.